Check the rock. Hello and welcome to Udcast episode 19. This is head of school Dan Glass with you once again, recording live in the Sound Lab here at the Brandeis School of San Francisco, exploring the soul's curriculum. Thank you for being here. We're going to start this week, as we start every week, with a poem. And this week, I'm going to start with an anecdote from reading Charlotte's Web, and it got me thinking about animals in general, and it took me back to a set of poems by a woman named Meg Hamill, who I published as part of a poetry journal that I edited and published for a stretch of 5 or 6 years in the mid-2000s, and she had a project called Trillions and Trillions of Heartbeats, and in that project she was writing poems for all these nearly extinct animals that were like right on the cusp of extinction. So I went and pulled this this project of hers up. I'm going to read one of the poems in there, which is called White Fin Dolphin, or Bayi, or Goddess of the River. Happy New Year, said the country band, as we were swinging around and around, as the women in high heels were jiggling their hips and swinging around. Happy New Year, the country band said, as we were honking our party horns. Today it is the new year, and it is warmer than it should be. Start building your underground house, said Carol when I brought her the rent check. Happy New Year, she said as Chloe the dog was barking, as the sun was shining, as she handed me a big bag full of truffles. For 20 million New Years, the white fin dolphin, or Bayi, swam China's longest river, the Yangtze, but a recent expedition failed to spot a single one, and conservationists fear the almost blind, long-beaked animal is the first big aquatic mammal to become extinct due to human activity. It used to be worshipped as a goddess by the Chinese. According to legend, the Bayi is the reincarnation of a princess who refused to marry a man she did not love and was drowned by her father for shaming the family. Dolphin, Bayi, white fin, goddess of the river, I'm going to focus my attention on you. I'm not going to flinch for a while or wish you back again, Dolphin. While I am praying for you, Dolphin, help me to create a new way of looking, so that through looking we may begin to register these things differently, to register what is happening with more clarity and with less of the filter called everything we have already seen and the other filter called everything we know to be true. It's an interesting chapbook project that these came out of, and each one of these poems has a pen and ink illustration of the animals. Really lovely. Meg Hamill, I published this back in 2008, I think. I haven't really thought about her work since, but it seemed appropriate for today because we're going to be talking a little bit about ways of seeing as well as animals. So, you know, last night I was home to help put the girls to bed, which in this season of admissions events and travel for conferences is just rare enough an event to be something I know to cherish. Our evening rituals have shifted over the years as our daughters have moved into and through new phases of childhood, but a constant has been books, though their forms too have morphed from board books to picture books. Chapter books read aloud together to novels read silently side by side. This particular moment finds us rereading Charlotte's Web to Alma. As a lover of animals, she is rapt, brow furrowed in thoughtful attention, begging for more story as we finish the chapter and turn off the light. Last night, we came to a chapter all about Wilbur's loneliness as he mopes inside the barn on a rainy day, feeling entirely friendless right before he meets the titular Charlotte. Alma at one point interrupted me, looking sad and serious, and said she wished she could step into the book, go to the barn, and pick Wilbur up and hug him. She was hurting for that little pig. Alma was, in that moment, experiencing a profound sense of empathy, which, interestingly, is a 20th century addition to English, built with a Greek root and prefix and modeled on the German Einfühlung, pardon my German pronunciation there, and both meaning in feeling. The term originally was coined in psychology and art theory and was briefly also referred to as fellow feeling, inner sympathy, and sympathetic projection. The core idea is about being able to put yourself in the emotional shoes of another being, like Alma truly feeling sad because Wilbur was so lonely. As an educator and student of history, I'm curious about the fact that empathy is a 20th century invention, given that our public school system and core liberal arts curriculum, which defines so much of how we think about school, was largely developed in the 19th century. I wonder whether the reason there is so much attention on empathy in educational research right now is because it was never built into the operating system to begin with. I know I've seen articles about the role of empathy in 21st century education circulating lately, including Mindshift's excellent piece, Why Empathy Holds the Key to Transforming 21st Century Learning. The author of that article offers 7 perspectives on why empathy should be the base of a new learning taxonomy, from its support of collaboration and teaming to emotional well-being to creative work. The last item on his list, that empathy unites, resonates with my sense that empathy is at the core of the work ahead in teaching our students how to best nourish and build our democracy. In truth, though, where my mind went while sitting there with Alma wasn't to the history of public education or to articles on empathy in 21st century education, but rather to a Saul Bellow quote that I had shared at Tuesday night's Board of Trustees meeting. "What is art but a way of seeing?" Saul Bellow asks. Just as E.B. White's Wilbur is giving Alma a new vantage point into the emotional lives of others, all art has the capacity to open our worlds to new vistas. And so I will end this morning, this Yudcast, with the standing ovation our middle schoolers received last Thursday night at the end of the middle school performance of the Big Bad musical. We had a packed house of nearly 175 well-wishers over at the Jewish Community High School's theater for the rollicking and funny play, which gave us all a new perspective on several storybook favorites, and most especially on our own kids. It left me, and I'm sure many others in the audience, excited for what new things they will invite us to see. With that, I wish you all weekends full of seeing and feeling, my friends. Shabbat shalom to all of you listening on Shabbat, and we'll be back with you next week.